It's time for the Manifest program. I'm your host, Perry Stone, and boy, do we have a message for you today. And I just need you to watch it all the way through and then stay with us to the end, and we'll tell you how to get this brand new book, Prophetic Alert, which we have written. I'm very excited about people reading it and how they're telling me how much they learned that they were unfamiliar with. And that's the goal we have, is to teach you the word of the Lord. Is God sending you a prophetic warning? And when I say a prophetic warning, it can relate to what is about to happen in your region, what's about to happen in your state, or what is about to happen globally, even throughout the United States. And sometimes he will warn people in advance through different methods that something is about to happen. Now, let's look at I always have what's called the opening scripture here. It's the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, and then chapter 19, verse 10. We've combined these together. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it, and that sort of means sealed it, by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and all things he saw. And then we come to the end of the book of Revelation, or toward the last several chapters, and we read this verse: for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In the world today, there are what is called three monotheistic religions, and monotheism is different from polytheism. Polytheism are many different gods that a religion believes in. Monotheism means that you believe there is only one true God. The three religions that have both a monotheistic belief that there is only one true God, and they have their own prophetic beliefs, are first of all Judaism, that uses basically the Old Testament, unless Messianic Jews are one to Christ and they believe he's the Messiah. They will use both the Old and the New Testament. So we have Judaism, we have Christianity. Christianity, and I'm talking about Christianity from traditional Christianity, will use what we call the entire Bible, the 66 books, the books of the Old Testament, and what is called the books of the New Testament. And by the way, testament is an old English word for covenant. So you have the first covenant and you have the second covenant. And that's a whole other teaching. Then you have Islam, which has the Quran and also has the Hadith. The Hadith is the traditions. The Quran is allegedly the statements that Muhammad made, and they were later written down. Now, in the monotheistic religions, this is what's interesting, that from a prophetic perspective, you have beliefs in three different, three different beliefs as it relates to a person that would be a final leader who would appear at the end of days. Now, let's look at these very carefully, because first of all, we have in Judaism the belief of the Mashiach, and the Mashiach is considered to be the Messiah. And there is in Judaism the belief of the Messiah ben Yosef, or the Messiah son of Joseph, or the Messiah ben David, which is the Messiah, the son of David. Now, Joseph had to suffer, but David was a king, leader, ruler. So it depends on what branch of Judaism you deal with, or what branch of the Orthodox Jews you are dealing with. Some believe that this is two different individuals. There will be a leader that will come and die in the war of Gog and Magog, thus sparing Israel as a nation. And following that will come the son of David, who would become the king ruler in the city of Jerusalem. And that would make Israel a great nation at the very end of days, etc. And I'm really abbreviating this, to be honest with you, because there's much more to share. In Christianity, it is the belief that Jesus Christ, and the Greek word for Christ is Christos, which means the anointed one, which would be similar to saying Mashiach in Hebrew, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Now, why do they believe that? Just because he said he was? No. They believe it because in the Old Testament, written hundreds of years before Christ's appearance, are Old Testament prophecies. Isaiah 14, he would be born of a virgin. Isaiah 14, they shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. The book of Micah, he would be born in the city of Bethlehem. He would come from the tribe of Judah. Zechariah said he'd be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Psalms 22 said his hands and feet would be pierced. He would cry out, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I'm telling you, the pictures are there. Abraham Abraham took Isaac, laid him on the wood on Mount Moriah to offer him, and he got up off the wood. Jesus was taken to the area of Moriah in the city of Jerusalem, laid on a cross, but he raised in 3 days. All these things tie into why Christians believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, in Islam, there is a word called the Mahdi, al-Mahdi, and the Mahdi is allegedly to be a person that will arise, probably some believe out of Syria, others believe out of Iraq, and some even believe he will come out of Iran. I think the Iranians or the Persian Muslims believe he comes from that territory. Most of them do believe, though, whether it's Karbala or Samaria, Iraq, that the Mahdi will be the last Islamic prophet. He will return with Isa ibn Maryam, who is Jesus, the son of Mary, and that Jesus will then publicly denounce that he is the Son of God and work in cooperation with the Mahdi, and you will convert to the Islamic religion. So that's kind of a brief summary on Islam's belief in the Mahdi. Now, here's what I want to tell you that's important on your behalf, and that is Bible prophecy. Prophecy is very interesting. Prophecy defined is, quote, to foretell or predict, make a prediction concerning what is coming. To foretell or predict or make a prediction of what is coming, but you do it through what is called the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, the people who spoke the prophecies, whether they came in a vision, dream, or the inspiration of hearing God's voice or hearing a message from an angel, are called prophets. Prophets, the word prophets, and you've got the word prophecy, prophetic, prophetess. You have different forms of the word, but the actual word prophets is found 242 times in Scripture, and 133 prophets are named, and 16 women are named. So there's a discrepancy among some scholars as to how many there actually are, but you have prophets that are named in the Bible that never wrote a book, but they were prophets to a king, prophets to a leader, etc. Now, the most noted prophets, of course, are those who wrote the Scripture, and we have the 39 books of the Old Testament that were written by what we call prophets. The first 5 books were written by Moses. This is called in Hebrew the Torah, the instruction of the teaching. And these 5 books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, were written by Moses during the journey into the wilderness. And he left the scroll with the children of Israel where copies were made. And this became Israel's rule book in the ancient time and still is actually today among devout Jews. Now, there are somewhere between 1,800 to 2,500 prophecies that are said to be in the Old Testament, 1,239. Anyway, this gets complicated when you start talking about the numbers. So let me just say it this way. If you look at it, 2,500 prophecies total, 1,239 in the Old, and then 578. So in other words, there's some in the Old Testament, there's some in the New Testament. I'm going to break it down more simple than that. 1/3 of the Old Testament has not yet been fulfilled. Ezekiel 38 and 39, the details of the war of Gog and Magog have not been fulfilled. Zechariah chapter 14, the king returning to Jerusalem, stepping on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives cleaving in 2 parts, that has not yet been fulfilled. Isaiah 66, the new heavens and the new earth, and the king coming to rule on the earth, that has not yet been fulfilled either. So according to many scholars, there's probably an estimate 318 end time or second coming scriptures that are found in the New Testament. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Why is it important that you study prophecy? Why is it important when men, doesn't have to be my writings, but when men write books and detail what's about to happen, why should you read it? Now, listen to what God says in Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10. He declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all of my pleasure. So here's the thing. We must understand that Bible prophecy is significant because it proves that God exists and that His word is truth, because He predicts this 2,000, 3,000, some instances 4,000 years ago, and it happens in exact detail. Now, this is where you come in. This is a foundation of prophecy itself, how prophecy is received by people called prophets. But how does that relate to you? Okay, I have found out years ago that God can give you what we call a personal warning. And personal warnings, actually, if we look at the scripture, both the Old and New Testament, come from different methods. Now, follow me carefully while I share this with you, because I'm going to tell you some stories you may not have heard before. First is an inner heaviness. Have you ever had a day when you get out of bed and nothing bad has happened, no bad emails, no negative letter, no negative phone call, and the entire day you feel heavy? Some would call it a depression or an oppressive feeling. Now, my daddy always taught me, if this happens, that you need immediately that day go to prayer, because if there's nothing happening to cause you to feel that way, it is a sign that there is trouble brewing somewhere. Now, years ago, my wife and I and my little daughter, Amanda, she was very young at that time. I think she would probably been about 5 years old at the time. We went to a place up in the mountains, the Smoky Mountains, and we spent the night at a beautiful, beautiful place that one of our ministry partners owned. And when I got up that morning, I was so heavy, I could hardly get out and function. I could hardly take a shower. I said, Pam, I'm heavy. So I began to pray, and I began to pray with the Holy Spirit, and I began to seek the Lord. I said, what is going on? And the burden would not go away. So that day, we decided to go to Franklin, North Carolina. So I tried to pray until I got some kind of a release. But all the way to Franklin, I was heavy. So we went into a store that had dinosaur bones and relics. Amanda was up at the top, and there was a ramp that went down, and the ramp ended in a room with all these displays, and the displays were glass. This happened. She ran down the ramp and tripped, and she fell right into the glass. Now, thankfully, before God, the glass did not break. We would have had to send her to the emergency room, but she busted her nose to the point that blood started pouring. We had to call the paramedics out, and she just would not quit bleeding from the nose, because she had a lot of nosebleeds back then. And I knew that was the burden I felt. I knew that's why I had the heaviness, and I'm so thankful that the Lord put it in my heart to pray, because prayer may have preserved her life. Someone said, well, why didn't God preserve her from running? Well, she's a child, and when she felt like running, she's going to run. So it might have been difficult for the Lord to say, Amanda, don't run. You know, an adult may be able to hear better than a five-year-old child. But the Lord really spared her from what could have been a horrible. I mean, if she'd hit that glass, and it would have cut her throat. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, look at how God protects. Now, there are many times that God will give you a warning from true friends. And this is the thing. Not everybody's warning may be from the Lord. It may be a dream they've had that's weird. It may be a dream that you're saying to yourself, I don't even know what that means. But I want to say something to you that years and years ago, and this is a long time back, we would have people that we knew, that we trusted, that were very prophetically gifted. And one woman came and talked about how she saw alligators on the property. Another woman came and told us how that she saw terrible fish in our pond trying to eat the baby fish up. And some of the dreams sounded weird, but I did know there was symbolism in it. Another one told of someone walking in and walking up to the platform at one of our Omega Center building and trying to rip out my left and right jugular. And this was, this may have been 2013, 2014, something like that. Well, here's what happens. And I want you to pay very careful attention to this. You should keep a record of what people warn you about. And here's the reason why, because many times you don't see it happening at the moment. When you don't see it happening at the moment, you might not take it serious. And you'll say, well, that's just somebody's crazy dream. However, when you see symbolism in a dream like wheat and tares, sheep and goat, when you see other symbolism in a dream that relate to Bible interpretation, that's where you need to pay attention. So if your friends have a dream that has biblical symbolism, or you have a dream or a vision, remember that's the spiritual dreams will have biblical symbolism in it. My bookkeeper came to me the other day, Susan. She's going to retire eventually. She's been with us, I think, 26 years. We were just in a brief discussion about how God has blessed us. And she said, do you remember many, many years ago, I had a dream? And she said, we were working in a beautiful wheat field. It was golden wheat. We just had our hands in there. We were gathering the grain. And there was a person, and she named a person that used to work with us. They don't now. That was way in the distance, who was on our staff way back then. And something bit him. And when something bit him, bit him, it affected him. And she said, oh my goodness, there's something working in this field. And she said, I went down to get the grain, watching him, wondering what was going to happen to him. And two snakes, one bit me in the left hand and one bit me in the right hand. Now your hands are your work that you're doing. So these were attacks trying to come against her as a worker. And she said, I said, I don't remember that dream. She said, oh yeah, I told it to you years ago. And she says, I shook one off on the left, and I shook one off on the right. And she said, I said out loud, I'm not having this, and I'm not having you to affect me. Now, I'm not going to tell you the interpretation of the dream, but we all now know what the interpretation of that dream meant. So my point is that in my personal life, and I preached this recently at the main event, there'll be portions of that come out December, the first of the year, but I remember telling people that I was so busy that when people were presenting warnings, and there were warnings coming, that I wasn't paying attention. And the reason was, at that time, I didn't see any evidence of what was happening take place. So my dad always told me, he said, what you need to do, Perry, is you need to write down these things in a journal, or write them down on a piece of paper and keep them where you see them, so that when things begin to take place, you will have a recall of that and say, okay, you will remember. And the Lord can, many times he will do this. He can prevent you from coming into maybe it's a self-appointed trap, or it's a trap that someone else is making. Now, the fourth thing you need to do is check your spirit. Several years ago, let me say this, in Acts chapter 11 and verse 12, you know, Peter was going to go to Cornelius' house, and it was a Gentile meeting with a Jew, which was a no-no. And he said in Acts 11:12, the Spirit of God bade me, or commanded me, to go with the men that were with me to visit him, to visit Cornelius. Acts chapter 18, verse 5, Paul talked about how he was pressed in his spirit to do something. Acts 11, verse 28. Same thing began to take place where the Apostle Paul heard a man talk about a drought that was coming, how to prepare for it. So God gives you warnings, is my point. But you have to judge things out of your spirit. Now, many, many years ago, I had a little convertible car, and when the weather was nice, especially in the fall, I liked to get in that car, put the hood down, and put music on, and I would drive and pray and listen to music. And I went to get the keys and told Pam, I said, I'll be back in a couple hours, I'm just going to go driving. And do you know, when I touched the door, the Spirit of God, like when Peter said, he bade me go, the Spirit of God bade me not to go. And he said to me, there will be great danger of an accident if you go today. And I, whoa. And I said, I just changed my mind. And I knew the Holy Spirit was speaking. So here's the thing. So you never should override, the Holy Spirit when you feel like he's giving you a warning, okay? Now, be sure it's not people who are using the gift of suspicion or the gift of manipulation to manipulate you in a certain way. Oh, you better not do that. You better not, because of this, and they're trying to manipulate you. Be sure it's the Holy Spirit speaking out of your own spirit. So that's another way that the Lord, can speak to you. I remember years ago when we were looking for property, we were in a little, wasn't really little, it was nice, but we outgrew it, a 7,500 square foot a place where our ministry was working out of. We needed a new building, and I heard the Lord speak to me, get up and go driving. I didn't know why. And so I got up and started driving and drove around town, and two things happened that day. We found a house, because we actually needed another house. We'd outgrown our house, and we found a house that they were building, and we made a deal with those guys to finish it, and we would get it for our house. We stayed in that house for many years. The same day, I found this property where Voice of Evangelism is sitting on, and I'll tell you one of these days the whole story. It is the most fascinating story. It's part of our legacy, part of our life, how God sent this property to us through a family named Swaffords, and how their mother, they were great Baptist people, and her mother always wanted to be a missionary, but wanted to do something for God, but never was able to. So when I told the head of the Swafford family, I said, we're going to build a ministry center here, and there used to be a white house on a hill here where they lived, grew up, and I said, my studio will be here, and we have a world missions program. Then he tells me about his mother. And you know what those precious people did? The family met together and gave me the price off of what they were asking, just so we could build a ministry. Hey, Swafford family, if you watch me from Atlanta, thank you so much. That was so sweet of you to do that. So here's some instructions I want to give you. Number one, when feelings come from God, like a gut feeling, it will stay with you. And the only way you can get rid of it is to pray it through, pray through it. Number two, if it's a dream that comes from God, it will have biblical symbolism. So remember that. And it will be, you can interpret it by biblical symbolism. If it's a wolf, it's a goat, it's a snake. You know, the other night I dreamed of an alligator and a king snake. I looked it up to see what kind of snake it was, and it's called a king snake. I didn't know there's a snake by that name. And the king snake had its head hid under a rock, but its tail was shaken. The alligator hid its head under a rock, in water, by the way, and its tail was shaken. And God spoke to me and said, you see what, you know what the two animals represent, these two creatures represent, but he said, it's their tails. The tail was not the physical tail, it was the tails, T-A-L-E-S, from people's mouth. And they were trying to conceal themselves, but yet they were, their tails were being exposed. So that's the interpretation of the dream. So I interpreted that dream how? By using symbolism in the Bible. You know, water represents ministry, etc. It was much more detailed than that, but that happened the other day. So I knew God was giving me understanding on something. It was much more detailed than that, but we'll leave it alone. The other thing is, when you get a burden from God, pray through it till the burden is over. Because my dad taught me, and I watched him do this time and time again, that if you have a burden, something is transpiring, something's going to happen, and God can actually spare your life if you pray over a burden in the future. So please be sensitive to the God's spirit. Be sensitive to the inner feelings that you have. Don't live in fear. But remember, Floyd Lahan used to say, my mentor, prayer can change anything. Anything is changeable through prayer, and I can pray myself through anything. Prayer is the key. So thank you for joining me. I'm going to tell you how to get my brand new book right now.
Perry Stone is now making available his new landmark book, Prophetic Alert. Stunning new insights reveal what is coming soon, which explores and explains numerous often unknown and untaught prophetic triggers that will lead to the rapture and the future Great Tribulation. Here are some of the 20 chapters. Ezekiel's War and the Rapture Link. The confusion over who is Gog of Magog. God versus Gog. Big hooks and little jaws. How can the Antichrist overpower a militarily armed Israel? Iran, land of the assassins and the gate of the gods. The spirit of Cain in the land of the east. Satan's main principality ruling in Middle East nations. The coming angelic cosmic wrestling match. Why do many Muslims dislike the Jews and Israel? The prophetic vision of the serpent in Gaza. When the abyss releases the destroying angel. Kings of the East and 1.5 billion Hindus in prophecy. When a dead head rises again. God's four weapons of destruction that are coming. Does the Bible hint at a nuclear war? You will learn great prophetic insight from these chapters and more. When you order the Prophetic Alert book with your gift of $25 or more, Perry will also select and include in this offer a mystery CD, a surprise audio message on CD. To order, visit perrystone.org or call toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. Or write to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. When writing, include your payment and offer number AB151. This is a very timely and important prophetic read for every Christian and all who love Bible prophecy. Your purchase is what helps keep Manifest on the air worldwide. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
I wanted to write a book in which it would reveal the different triggers, the different events, the different future occurrences that, as they begin to happen, are evidence without a doubt of the return of the Lord and the tribulation which lies in the future. And I want you to know this, that when we did this book, I wanted to write chapters that dealt with subjects that I had not previously preached in the past. And so the entire book was researched for several months based on questions I have had. For example, how can the Antichrist take over Israel when Israel has the military power that it now has? I've never heard anybody deal with that. I do it in the book. What about 1.5 billion Hindus? Where are they in prophecy? Nobody preaches on them. But yet they are part of the kings of the East. that's going to come and march into the Middle East. Why do the kings of the East march to the Middle East? I mean, this is going to answer a lot of questions that some of you have asked me over the years about events going to happen in the future. Please take the time. Let me tell you another reason why. You know, we don't send out donor letters asking for support. We just don't do that. Our partners don't get letters. Can you help us do this? Can you help us do that? We need your help this month. I'm not against other ministries that do that, trust me. But the Lord never had us do that. And as a result of that, sometimes we'll come into a situation to where we see something coming up that we need to do, and we have to pull from different funds to try to get that done. And I would just like to get to the point where we have so many partners and so many new friends that believe in what we're doing, reaching the entire world, 120,000 people converted by the lens of a camera in one nation, one foreign nation. Started a church with 100 people. Now they have 15,000 people in this nation as a result of the lens of a camera, me preaching from this studio live to sometimes 50 to 70,000 people in a foreign nation. Some of you don't know we do that. We have videos from Israelis. We have videos from Russian Jews. We have videos from Ukraine, Russia. We have them from information coming in from Romania, other parts of the world where the Manifest Telecast is winning people to the Lord. And I did a t-shirt some time back, and it's so popular. People want it when they see it at our conferences. And it's got some nuts down here and some fruit up here that says, follow the fruit, not the nuts. Folks, there's so many crazy people out there reporting crazy stuff. May I just encourage you, find people producing fruit for the kingdom, churches, pastors, ministries, and stand with the fruit producers and not the nut makers. Okay? Very simply said, I'm coming to a couple places, Riverwalk Church in Sanford, Florida, January 23rd, 24th, and 25th. So if you folks from the Florida area, remember that, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. On the 1st of February, it's all-day Sunday at Louisville, Kentucky, the Evangel World Prayer Center with Bob Rogers, the West Virginia Church of God Prayer Conference, February 23rd, 24th, at White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, at the Bethesda Church, perrystone.org. Go and get the information. God bless you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit perrystone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.